So today's going to be about stewardship, because we're a stewardship ministry, and I really do believe that the Lord wants us to be wise stewards. I think we can all agree on that. And also, it would be wise for us to note that there's more about stewardship than just money, right? And so we're going to talk about a couple of different items today in Sunday school and Sunday morning about other concepts of stewardship that involve our entire self rather than just our wallet. And so we're going to discuss those things, but just kind of as a precursor, we do have a sign-up sheet in the back, as Pastor mentioned, for Monday and Tuesday. I have an associate of mine. His name is Travis Lloyd. They had a wedding yesterday, so he wasn't able to come early with me, but he's going to be here this afternoon. He'll be with us for the service tonight, and then he helps me all day Monday and all day Tuesday, and we literally came here for this. We have nothing else to do but to meet with you, and so we set aside the time. It doesn't cost anything. We don't work for any company. We're not here to sell you anything. Our goal and desire is for you to have more money. Amen. Anybody okay with having more money? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think, well, if you didn't raise your hand, you're not either paying attention or there's something's not quite, no, I'm just kidding. But that's really, truly our goal, is to help you have more. Because if you can, it doesn't matter how much money that you make. I know people that make $1 million a year and spend $1.1 million a year. Well, who cares how much money you make if you don't have anything at the end of it, right? You can make $50,000 a year, but if you're saving and you're accumulating and you're using that for the Lord, well, then you're still being a faithful steward, right? Matthew chapter number 25 and the parable of the talents might even address that a little bit tonight, but it wasn't about comparison. It wasn't about this guy had five, this guy had two, this guy had one. It was, what did you do with what you've got? And that's really what it comes down to when we're talking about stewardship, because we're just managers of the things that God gives us. And we want to be wise in that endeavor. And so that's really our whole goal today, is to try and help you become a better steward of the things that the Lord has placed into your care. And we're going to try and do that through the Word of God, through some biblical concepts today. And then as you have opportunity or have availability, and we'll talk a little bit more about it again at the morning service, but I do encourage you to try and meet with us. Even if you say, you know what, I got my house in order, that's a blessing. Then come and teach me something so that I can help other people, right? And then, or if you just say, you know what, you ever heard of like a second opinion from a doctor before? And sometimes it's good to just have a second opinion. Somebody that just kind of brushes past what you have going on. And sometimes there's some ideas out there, some things out there that you might not know about or might not be familiar with. We might be able to fill in some gaps. And so however we can help, really, truly our heart. Thank you, Pastor, for letting us come. And I know what it is to give up a pulpit on a full Sunday, so we'll try and make good use of it for the church and for the Lord. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let's turn to Luke chapter number 11. We'll get into the Sunday school class this morning, Sunday school lesson. This is one of those messages that was kind of born out of my personal devotions. And one of those things, sometimes, you know, the Lord just knocks you upside the head and says, hey, you got a lot of work to do here, man. So I've preached this more than once, but every time I preach this, the Lord shows me something new, challenges me more, and it's something that's fresh on my heart, and it's something that is very dear to me. And we're going to talk about stewarding our prayer life. We know read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, right? I know that's a simple concept, but it's probably one of the most profound concepts we'll ever learn. And that if you can stay in the book, and you can stay on your knees, or for me, you'll find out too all day today, you'll find out that ADHD is pretty strong here. And so me kneeling down in prayer, I last about 4 seconds, and I'm about 6,000 miles away. Right, so for me, if I'm going to pray and I'm going to pray effectively, I've got to go on a walk, and I just have a conversation out loud with the Lord, just like I'm talking to you, or if you were there, how we would have a conversation, and that's also why I tend to go at night, because otherwise people think you're really crazy. Not that that matters, but you see some guy walking down the road just having a conversation with himself. They don't know that that's with the Lord. And I'm telling you, the Lord has used that particularly in my life to affect a lot of change, and has used this passage of scripture to help me with that. And so I hope it'll be a blessing to you this morning. Luke chapter number 11, and we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, speaking of Jesus, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the avenue of prayer. Thankful that we can come to you anytime, Lord, and that you not only hear us, but desire us to come unto you and to seek things that only you can give us. And Lord, we praise you for that. Thank you for this time. I pray that you'd bless it as only that you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, brother, she doesn't have to raise your hand for you now, but how many other people are Lego people? Because I know you're already a Lego guy. Are you a Lego guy? Oh, you're not. You're a nerd and not a Lego. This is so conflicting. I don't even know what to do with that information. Is anybody in here a Lego person? Just love Legos? Yeah, there's always a few, right? I was in Delta Junction, Alaska last week, and I taught Sunday school, and I preached this message in Sunday school. There was like 14 people there, and there's still a Lego person there. It doesn't matter where you go. There's Lego people everywhere. You just got to be careful because they're interesting. No, they're, but my brother's a Lego guy. He's a pastor up in Minnesota. He actually pastors the church we grew up in. They're going to have their 50th anniversary jubilee next Sunday. So I'll fly back Wednesday and then drive to Minnesota, and I'll be there for their jubilee next weekend, which I'm really looking forward to. But my brother loved Legos, just loved them. He actually, as funny as this is totally unsolicited. He has no idea I'm preaching this, but he sent me an Instagram deal of a Lego set yesterday. It's funny, it's so funny. I just totally forgot until now. But he literally sent me this, and it was like a model of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was like people running. And anyway, it was a funny thing, but it was but Lego people are ultra detailed. Okay, so like when I was a kid, I'm like 6 years old, and I want to be outside. I've got a BB gun, and there's birds. And so that's what I'm going to go do, right? I'm gonna walk around in the country. I'm going to shoot birds until there are no more birds. My mom literally put a bird limit on me. She's like, you can't shoot more than 5 birds a day, okay? There's no more birds left, man. And so while I'm out, you know, and all the barn cats are following me around because they know what's going to happen, my brother's inside with his Lego set. Okay, so like if I open up a box of Legos, like there's a cool picture on the front, right? You open that thing up, it doesn't look like that. I have a problem with that right out of the gate. It just doesn't look like that. There's just pieces everywhere, right? And they're different colors. And like, I'll take like 4 of them and put them together and go, it still doesn't look like the picture. So I'm done, man. I'm out, right? I'm gone. And my brother's over there, and there's this thing inside the box, right? It comes with every box of Legos, whatever they call them. A set of Legos? A set. There's a word. It's a set of Legos. Okay, so there's this little piece of paper. It looks like it's about this big when you open it up. And then it like unfolds. And it's like, it just keeps getting bigger. And it's the instruction manual, right? Because there's like 650 steps to putting on this little box. It's like 50 pieces. How are there more steps than pieces? I don't know. It's just what happens in Legos, right? And my brother just is like, oh, step one. Step two. I'm like scratching my eyeballs out, and he's like, step 3, step 412. at the end of it, he gets done what needs to get done. And I'm just like, who cares, man? Who cares? But the instruction manual is key to figuring, to getting to the actual product, right? It's the process that produces the product that without the instruction manual, you really don't ever reach the intended product, right? Because you're missing the process. Well, in this section of scripture, this is what Jesus is doing. He's giving his disciples literally an instruction manual of how to pray. Wouldn't it be awesome if you just knew how to pray? Wouldn't it be awesome if you knew that every time you prayed, here's the process where I can know that I'm going to the Father and that he hears me. And that what I have need of, he was willing to answer. I mean, what an incredible opportunity, right? It's literally right here. And most of the words, if you saw them, they're in red. They're literally Jesus' words, right? He's teaching his disciples how to pray. What's the instruction, man? What's the process? And there's, rather than going through every verse again, because we already read them, I'm going to summarize these into three steps, right? 3 points. If you take notes, there's three simple points. The first one is that we need to come to the Lord and pray dependently, okay? So the section of scripture would be verses 2-4, where we would know this, or I shouldn't say we would know this, this would be commonly considered to be the Lord's Prayer. Okay, so in a religious or many church settings, this would be considered the Lord's Prayer. Father, hallowed be thy name, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in earth, so in heaven, all of the, that's, how many of you know that's not the Lord's Prayer? Where would we find the Lord's Prayer? John 17, the great high priestly prayer, where you actually see Jesus come before the throne and go to the Father, which is in heaven, and prays to him, and there's dialogue there. It's an incredible study. If you want to know the heart of the Godhead for you, study John 17. Wonderful, wonderful. This would be a model prayer, right? This would not be the Lord's Prayer. This would be a model prayer. This is where Jesus is saying, hey, when you do pray, pray a certain way. Well, how do we pray? Well, we come to the one that can answer the needs that we have. So automatically, we can't do it ourselves. We have to come to the Father, which is in heaven, and we come to him and say, thy kingdom come. Can I bring in the kingdom myself, or is that God's business? That's God's business. Can I do all of his will in heaven as and in earth? That's probably his business to do. Right? I can be part of that, but that's God's business. When it comes to giving us our daily bread, well, Brother Todd, I can get up and I can go to work and earn a paycheck. Right. And who gave you the strength to do that? Amen. And who put the air in your lungs? Amen. You realize that my pastor used to say this growing up, the air in your lungs is yours, the next breath is his. What if he says no? We're dependent on him for literally everything, right? Whether it's our daily bread. Can you forgive sin? Well, this is also why it can't be the Lord's Prayer. Because if Jesus had to ask for forgiveness, he couldn't be our sacrifice. He couldn't be our Savior. It would actually be blasphemy, right? This would be blasphemous to call that because Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. We can't forgive sin. God can forgive sin. So when we come to God, we've got to come to him, and we've got to come to him dependently. I've got two daughters, 12 and 7 years old, and my 12-year-old thinks she's 25. It's not okay, but it is what it is. If you've had a 12-year-old, you know. My 7-year-old is still like, she's becoming a little bit bigger girl, but she knows she's still just a little girl. She still needs help like opening a water bottle, right? Because if you don't know it, I can open water bottles. And so I get to be her hero literally every day. How do you drink water without, you know, anyway. So she comes to me for things that she has need of, right? Well, it's awesome because if she doesn't, she's going to try and try and try and try and fail with a lot of things because sometimes in life, only dad can fix things. Only dad can give you what you need. There was one time we were getting ready for bed, getting the bath ready and all this stuff. And you know how it is when the house kind of goes quiet and you know something's going bad wrong, right, or about to go bad wrong. Is they're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, right? And so we're getting ready, and all of a sudden, I just had this intuition, and it was quiet. I said, something's going wrong, man. And there, Alice loves these little fruit cups, you know, or like the little applesauce cups, you know, those things. If I kept those on the bottom shelf, she would literally eat the whole box in a day. Like she would just go through, just put those things down. So I put them up high, right where she can't reach them. Well, I come out from the bathroom getting things ready, and I go into the kitchen, and she's on top of the countertop, very slick countertop, and she's in her footy pajamas. And it doesn't have those little tacky dots on the bottom. They're just smooth. So it's like smooth on smooth, right? And she's like this up there trying to reach for that applesauce. And as I come around the corner, she's going like this, and she goes, whoop. And she falls back, and it was the... I could like do a slow-mo replay of this thing, and she just went literally like, and she's headed head first to the tile. And so you know me, I mean, being super dad, I don my cape, and I'm gonna be super, and I didn't actually have a cape, but what I did do was I did this like sliding move. And again, I wish I had this like on video. It would be the coolest thing ever. Like, see? But I did this and I caught her head like an inch from the ground. And I do what dads do. I saved her life. That's what we do. And she cried like crazy. You know, it was like nothing happened. You're welcome. Nothing happened, right? But she's still crying because, you know, she was scared and all those different things, which I understand. So when she finally calmed down, the first thing I said to her wasn't, are you okay? Because I knew she was okay. It was, Alice, next time, just ask. I can actually help you. I'm not opposed to giving you applesauce. Just ask. You know, but because she wanted this idea of independence just runs in us. And that we can get to a point where you just say, you know what? I'll just get another job. I don't have to ask God for help. Why would I pray when I can go and work harder? Or whatever the case might be. When Jesus is just simply saying, just come and ask. Like, why wouldn't you just ask? Because he says, come. He says, come before the throne of grace boldly, doesn't he? I mean, we're invited to that. And yet, we don't. Because we have this independent streak in us. And I've heard it said, I wish this was original with me. I wish I was smart enough for a statement like this. But I've heard it said that prayerlessness is our declaration of independence from God. And if you think about that, if we're going to come to God, first of all, we have to understand that we're not God, that he is, and that we need to come to him dependently so that we can actually get the things that we need, so then we can go about our life, or so that we can continue to serve him, or whatever it is that we have that need for. So the first one would be, point number one would be pray dependently. The second one, I like to call it this, I like to say pray crazy or pray boldly. So Jesus continues on in the story or in the training, in the instruction here. And he tells this story and he says, which of you have a friend that go to him at midnight and ask of him bread? Which at first is like, okay, whatever. Well, just hold on for a second. If you're laying in bed and it's midnight, kids are asleep, and you hear this at the door, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to get your gun, right? Yep. And then for some of you, it's going to be like, finally, the day is finally here. Somebody's breaking into my house. I can use this thing. That's not the right response. It's just not. Although, it'd probably be my response, right? But what I'm saying is here, if you think about it, you put yourself in this guy's shoes and you go, I'm in bed, it's midnight, it's dark. This is not the time to be coming and asking for bread. And so you see the response there. He's like, listen, I'm in bed, the door is shut, the kids are in bed. And this guy's a friend, right? So think about, like, let's just say your best friend. Who would your best friend be? Your best friend comes to you at midnight and you go, dude, go away. It's midnight, I'm sleeping, like, or you should be sleeping at midnight. Because nothing good happens at midnight, right? It's just the truth. And so I'm in bed, it's midnight. I'm not going to get up and get you bread. I don't care how good of a friend you are. You've got a friend and you didn't prepare for him. That's on you, man. That's not my fault. It's not my responsibility to take care of your friend. I don't even know this guy. Go away. And yet, Jesus says that he's not going to get up and give him bread because he's his friend, but because of his importunity. Now, how many of you, with an upraised hand, use the word importunity this week.
No way. Really? Did you really? That's only happened to me like one other time.
It's not a common word. I just kind of want to pull up a chair and be like, tell me how you use the word importunity, because this is really, really awesome. I love it. So great vocabulary. Was it in reference to something like this?
No, it was, whoa.
It wasn't even a Bible reference. Like, yeah, I was quoting this verse to somebody, so I said importunity. No, it's just like just common conversation. You know, I'm very importunitous. That's what I am, importunitous. So, but the idea is that this guy knocks. No. Listen, friend, I'm not going anywhere until I get bread. You can lay in bed, but you're not going to sleep because I'm going to keep knocking at your door until you get up and give me what I need. Right? They didn't have Walmart, right, at the time, so it's not like you just go over there. He's going to knock until he gets what he needs. There's a kind of a sister passage to this in Luke 18, where there's an unjust judge and a widow woman. And the unjust judge is going about his daily business, and this widow woman continues to come and ask him for what she has need of. And he just says, I don't regard God. I don't regard man. I don't care about your problem. I don't care about your request. I don't care what you have going on. Leave me alone. And yet this widow woman won't leave him alone to the point where finally he just goes, give her whatever she wants. Leave me alone, right? And that's the idea of importunity. It's just you keep going and you keep going until you get what you want. And so Jesus says, I say unto you that he will rise and give him as many as he needs, because he's coming and he's asking for something kind of crazy. He's asking really, importunity means boldness, shamefacedness. It's like relentless, right? And so he's going to come back and come back and come back and come back. So finally he just says, fine, I got to get this guy out of here. It's later than it was. Right? So go and go and go. And Jesus is simply saying, you've got to come dependently to God, but you've got to also come and ask for things that only God can do. You got to come boldly. You got to come and, when was the last time you asked God for something crazy? Amen. Something where you go, you know what? There's no human on the planet that could do this. There's no force in nature that could accomplish this. If this gets done, it's because God did it.
Yeah.
How many of you have ever asked God for something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, right? How many of you got an answer the first time you asked? It happens, not a lot. Well, what happens if you don't get the answer that you want or in the time that you want? Do you go back? How many times are you going to say go back? Well, that's the idea of importunity. You keep going back, right? And you're asking God for something that only he can do, and I'm going to keep asking until he gives it to me. That's the idea of importunity. That's the idea that Jesus is teaching here. Come dependently, knowing God can only God can do this, and then keep coming and keep coming until you get the answer. Why is that? Because if you look in verse number 9, Jesus says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. There's no limitations there. Jesus didn't say ask and, you know, if I'm feeling okay with it, seek and maybe I'll do it. Knock and maybe the door will open. It's not what he says. He says, follow the instruction manual. Come to God dependently and ask him for things only he can do. He's going to do them. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You realize that God owns everything? Realize that God can give you anything. He can give you exactly what you need. You say, Brother Todd, I mean this seriously. I've had the opportunity to travel to a lot of churches and sit with a lot of people. And about half the folks that I sit with in any given church are in debt up to their eyeballs. And you know, it's a bummer because we don't have to live that way. Now listen, I understand, okay, I'm not down on debt or people with debt. I've been there bad. Right? I probably all have at some point or another, or know somebody that's in that situation. And I'm not talking like a few thousand. I'm talking like a couple hundred grand. I've seen it. That's at some point you have to realize this might be out of my control. Maybe this is something God's going to have to handle if it's going to get handled.
Right.
Rather than trying to go about it in the power of man and the strength of your flesh, why not go to God in prayer? Why not go to him dependently? Why not go to him and ask him for something really at this point only he can handle? Well, because we've got this stupid pride thing. And it stinks. Because it keeps us from being dependent. And it keeps us from asking God for what we have need of. And it keeps God from being able to answer. If you don't ask, is he just going to lay it on you? How many of you, you know, you just give your kids what you think they need or what you think they want? Wouldn't it help if they'd like, I don't know, say it? Hey, Dad, I'd like this. Right. Hey, Mom, can I have this? No, of course not. Why would you even ask? That's us. But God says, if you're coming to me dependently and you're not going to use it on your own lust and ask amiss like we would find in James, come on, guys. He wants us to come. He offers us the opportunity. He says, keep coming. Come to me and I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things. Thou knowest not. My goodness. If he says, ask and you shall receive, it's like, do you read the book of James? Where God says to him that lacketh wisdom, let him come to God and ask of him. And he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. How many of you asked for wisdom this morning? Yeah, there's one or two, right? And yet, the Bible says, to any of you that lack wisdom, let him come to God. And he gives it liberally. We all recognize we need wisdom. Amen. He says, come and ask it and I'll give it to you. And we don't. Like, why not? Why wouldn't you ask if he says, I'll give it to you? We know we need it. In the very same manner, Jesus is simply saying, what do you have need of? This is why we're talking about stewardship, not just about money. Because there's a lot of things that you have need of that a wallet can't fix. You know anybody that's lost? You have a family member that's not saved? You have a wayward child? Come on, we live in a sinful world, don't we? We live in a hard world. And we all have things that money can't, we all have need of things that money can't buy. That only God can answer. And that if we don't go and ask him, why would he think that we're serious about it? Your lost loved one, how many times have you prayed for them? How many times have you actually witnessed to them? Because just being the one who says, Lord, save them. Well, maybe the Lord's thinking like, maybe you should open your mouth and witness to them. Amen. Maybe you could even be the answer to your own prayer. How about that? Good. Him that asketh, receiveth. Him that seeketh, findeth. But how often do we come, who do we not come at all? Or how often do we come and we come boldly and we come and ask for big, crazy things of God and we come and we ask again and again and again and again. So Jesus is simply saying, if you want something, if you want to learn how to pray and you want to get answers to your prayers, come dependently. And then come to him and ask boldly for things. The third point is from 11 to verse number 13. And this is pray expectingly. So pray dependently, pray crazy, pray boldly. And then pray expectingly. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? This is kind of the idea here. Like, okay, so Dad, I'm hungry. Dad, can I have some bread? No, there's gravel in the parking lot. Go eat. That's not normal, right? Hey, can I have an egg? Sure. Here's a scorpion. Eat that. Like, that's not normal. Right, I know that Jesus is using some hyperbole here, really, but in reality, like it's not normal to like abuse children like that, because that would, hey, go eat rocks. Hey, you want an egg? No, here, try and swallow this scorpion with the stinger, and hopefully it won't jab you in the throat and you know cause you to swell up and die. That's weird. Like that's if that's the way you treat your kids, don't let me know, because that's just not the way it should be. We should never, and it's not normal. And Jesus even alludes to that. He says, if ye which are evil know how to give good gifts. Like that's not normal. What would be normal is when your kid asks for fish, that you give him fish. When your son asks for bread, you give him bread. When they ask for an egg, you give them eggs. Right? We want good things for our children, right? But how many times do we come to God and we say, Lord, it'd sure be great if you would do this. When I was a kid, I used to pray and ask the Lord for $11 million. He still hasn't answered that prayer. You say, that's a really odd number. Does anybody want to take a stab at why it would be 11 million? So you could tithe and still have 10. And then there's, actually, it's 9,900,000. I was like six, okay? Calm down. But we come to God not really anticipating he's going to answer. So we ask once or twice, and then we let it go. Or we say, God bless all the missionaries. Well, what does that even mean? What does that even look like? Do you know what a missionary is going through? Do you know what their family's facing? Do you know what their ministry's struggling with? Do you know what your pastor struggles with? What's going on in your family? Are you willing to go back and go back and go back, but also know that, Lord, I'm not just coming to you for something big. I'm expecting you based on your word. Not because I'm awesome and I deserve it, but because you said that if I would come to you dependently and come boldly, that I can expect of you to answer my prayers. I can expect that the God of all creation can take the things that I have need of and fulfill those needs. It might be financial. It might be in your family. It might be spiritual. It might be you need a new job. It might be, there's all, my car's broken down. I'm amazed. I get to travel a fair bit. And I do a lot of driving, and I've got a pickup truck that I put tires on 60,000 miles ago. I put 40,000 mile tires on my truck 60,000 miles ago, and I have tread on those things like you cannot believe. Like every time I look and I'm like, is that still really?
Amen.
Why is that? I feel like the children of Israel in the desert where their shoes wouldn't wear out, you know? It's just incredible to me because God is meeting a need. They say, Lord, every time I go somewhere, says, Lord, help me to be a blessing. Help me to be an encouragement. Help me to be a challenge. Lord, keep me safe. Lord, allow the things that I'm utilizing for you to continue to be utilized for you. Well, that includes my vehicle, right? And it includes the stinking tires and just something as simple as that. Where, you know, I say it, and sometimes, brother, it's kind of more like I'm saying it because, oh, I know I'm supposed to say it. I know I'm supposed to pray this. But I really want to be a blessing. I really want to be a help. And I really want to be able to keep doing this. Well, one of the ways to keep doing it is just something as simple as this. God says, okay, if you want to use this vehicle for my ministry, for my use, for my glory, I'm going to extend the life of that thing. And now, you know, and I'll probably get back and blow a tire. but isn't that also sometimes the way that we approach it? It's like, yeah, well, it's worked this far, but God probably won't let it continue. Well, I know that God did this for Brother Jerry, but he probably won't do it for me. So why even ask? So why bother? And I think that sometimes we just fail to expect God to honor his word, to honestly do what he said he would do. You trusted him with your salvation. Why wouldn't we trust him with the physical things? Why wouldn't we trust him with the material things? And I wonder how oftentimes that we get to a point where we just go, you know what? I'll just figure it out. And just neglect prayer altogether. When was the last time you really spent time in prayer with God? When was the last time you really spent time dependently in prayer and asking him for big things? And asking him, expecting you to answer, or expecting an answer from him for you. It's a challenge, right? As we come to kind of wrap this up, as we got just a couple of minutes left, I want to give you just an illustration of this from, it's actually a historical story. There was a story about a soldier that was at the White House, and he was sitting down on a bench. He had the duty of the White House. He was sitting down on the bench, and he was crying, just weeping outside the White House. Strange for a soldier, but nonetheless, here it is. Soldier sitting there weeping. And this young boy walks by, and he says, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And he says, well, I came to see the president, and I can't get in. And the young boy says, yeah, it's pretty hard to see the president. Come on. And he takes the soldier by the hand, and he walks towards the White House, and they walk past the guard station, and nobody says anything. And they walk through the White House lawn, and nobody stops them. walks through the foyer of the White House and nobody says anything. And they walk into the office of Abraham Lincoln. And the young boy says, "Dad, this man needs to talk to you."
Hey.
Realize that what Jesus is teaching us here is that you're going to be led by the hand of the Son into the throne room of the Father. And he says, "Dad, Brother AJ needs something from you. Dad, Brother Todd needs this. Brother Roger needs this." And only you can answer it. Lord, can you hear his prayer? Realize that prayer was bought with a price. Who had access to God? Who had access to the throne room before the blood? Before Jesus? Do you realize that before Matthew chapter number 5, nobody called God Father? It was a distant relationship. We have access, and it was bought with a price so that we have the opportunity, not just in a, "Oh, I'm going to follow the Lego instructions manual," but in a real relationship that we have the opportunity to steward, where it should be our first response, not our last resort. And if we follow the plan that Jesus set out, then here's what I'll tell you. Ask, and it shall be given. Amen. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the avenue of prayer and the stewardship of it that you've given to us, Lord, that we can come to you boldly anytime and ask of you the things that only you can give us. And Lord, I pray that we would do that and we would come to you in a spirit of dependence and, Lord, expecting that you would give us the things that we have need of so that we can continue to serve you and serve you better. In Jesus' name.